Hello.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you today. Cheryl's got some praise reports, as usual.
Yeah, I have announcements first.
Praise the Lord.
I first have announcement. Thank you, Jesus. As you can tell, it's Christmas here, because we have a Christmas tree. Because we're not under bondage. We're free in Christ.
Okay.
We are doing really good. So far, we've raised $34,014. And so far, praise the Lord. So far, I've spent $20,166. But I still got to do $5,000 for the Six Flags tickets, and I still have some other things that I need to buy. So last year we raised $165,500. We bought Christmas for 8,585 children, teen moms, elderly, 447 needy unemployed families, 880 homeless. So we God did a good work last year, and so. As it says in Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. So if you have a need, we appreciate you to help these kids in any way, just on your offering or your put children or Christmas, so I know where it goes instead of to tithes. All right, so you know what we're doing. Most of you know. I know most of you know. But God's good. When we're finished, we're almost, I have to thank the Rosenfeld four adult kids and older kids, I should say, and the Smiths and Kim. Children for helping me a couple of nights ago, I guess it was. We went to Kohl's and we got almost, we thought we had all the kids' clothes bought. I have just a few I have to exchange and fix, but other than that, it was great. What a madhouse. We only spent $8,000. It was great. Yeah, but I know. It's great that you have the money to go spend it, to give them the clothes, you know, because they need it. You know, they're very specific about what they want, and they need the clothes. If the things they write me, there's one little girl, I haven't been talking about too much about what's going on, but one particular little girl, it's 14, and she's asking for men's clothes and men's shoes. And so I write them, that's okay, you know. I just said, are you sure this is the correct sizes and everything? And they wrote back and they said that this little girl was so traumatized, she had such horrific things that happened to her. Not that she's identifying as a man or a boy, but that she prefers to wear men's clothes. And I wrote back and I said, I understand. We had a woman that came here years ago. And when she came for 2 years to healing school, she had breast cancer and left breast. And I kept saying, you've got unforgiveness against a woman and your family. No, 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 no. Forever she did it. And then finally she gets down to 80 pounds on oxygen. They bring her here to La Quinta over in Denton on a mat in a van that they had to carry her. Yeah, like the Jesus coming through the roof, you know, the guy on the mat and everything that they... So somebody brought her here. They asked, could we come over there and speak with her? We did. I asked the Lord. I said, what can I do for this woman? He told me to fast for 3 days. So I fasted water only. The only time he's ever told me to fast for somebody. So we go there. She's on oxygen. Thurman starts talking to her. And finally, when he's through, I said, okay, what's eating at your chest? She said, my mother. For 2 years, you've told me, no, 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 no. I have no unforgiveness. And now it's your mother. So what had happened to this woman, her daddy had beat her mother to a frazzle, and she was a wacky woman, and she molested this little girl her whole life. And so she wore men's clothing, too. And she said, because her mother would make cat calls and, whoo, you know, you're looking good and whatever to her, so it freaked her out. And so she ended up forgiving her mother, got off the oxygen, everything was perfect. And she was here 3 days, came and got zillions of teachings, and she was perfect. But before we left, she said, well, my mother wants to come see me. And I said, well, you have to let her come see you. That shows God that you have truly forgiven her. Her mother was in Colorado. She's in New Mexico. She said, but I'll have to take care of her. Well, of course, she couldn't take care of anybody. She's an invalid on a board. I was like... You still got to let your mother come. She said, oh, okay. So 3 days she's here and around the vicinity, comes to church, comes here to the healing ministry and gets teachings and no oxygen. She's totally off doctor. Before she couldn't do anything. I mean, she was true, and she's sitting up now, you know, so she's really recovering. She's on her way. And I thought, wow, it's all done. And she goes home, and she doesn't let her mother come see her, and she dies. You know, and you go, wow, why did that have to happen? You know, but I'm just telling you, this little girl that I'm talking about that's 14, it's no different than what this other little girl had happened to her. You know, so we need to help them. If you can help, help them, okay? All right, praise reports. You know, God loves his animals. Okay, they wrote us and they said, could we pray for BB the dog? And it was for somebody's friend, a friend's dog. We don't even know the friend. They don't even give us her name. And they just say, Christy writes and says, thank you for your prayers concerning BB the dog. Praise God and thank you, Jesus, and for your time and prayers. She had surgery and is doing great. So BB survived it. Thank you, Jesus. And he loves cats. This one wrote, this cat had gotten into some kind of battle. And so they wrote and they said, oh, help moo the cat. M-O-O, moo. Hi, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. I wrote to you last Thursday and asked for prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19, for moo. I wish I had a before and after pictures of him. The left side of his face was so swollen and his eye totally shut. As I told you in my email, there was no way for a big vet bill. I had to totally trust the Lord and his word. By Friday afternoon, all the swelling was gone and his eye is open and he is one healed kitty cat. Thank you for agreeing with me. No way for swelling to suddenly go down unless Jesus did it. No way at all. Love your teachings. Love you both. Move the cat.
Oh, that kitty cat. Praise the Lord.
I love that one. This is from Parakeet. She said, Thurman, I have the most awesome praise report. I got accepted into a university. It's a big praise report because all my life I had people tell me I was stupid and could never do it. But I did. I proved them wrong. And what's even more amazing, I didn't even have a great SAT or ACT scores, but I got accepted. Praise God. It's such a miracle. I thought I would tell you guys, thank you for all of your support and prayers, Lauren.
Praise the Lord.
We prayed for her to get into school. Okay, this is another lady. She had a stroke, and then she got healed through Jenny and the prayer ministry, and then she was back playing her guitar. And so she wrote, thank you for your much-needed prayer and intercession during a critical time in my walk with the Lord. I'm completely delivered from the horrible and frightening oppression I suffered for 5 months following a stroke almost 2 years ago. Hallelujah. The Lord especially ministered to me through Jennifer, for whom I will be eternally grateful. Okay. So you can, anyway, she's telling me that she's now doesn't need our stuff. She listens online. So thank you sincerely, Lauren.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so she got healed of a stroke and delivered from all the oppression that came with it. Okay. All right, this is a praise report. She got complete healing in her bones. This lady had been writing for a long time, and she'd wanted a correction and alignment of her bones, her backbones, her ribs, her rib cage, her pelvic, her hip, her knees. She just had gone on and on and on for many months. And the basic deal, she didn't love herself, okay? So we kept writing all that, and we said when we tell people what their problem is, we send them the root of the spiritual root, and we send them some teachings to listen to, like her. We sent Love Yourself, and because you know what goes to the bone, you know it's like what you speak out. You're just bringing it right back to you if you're speaking negative stuff. Anyway, she wanted renewal of good health in all her body organs, and specifically her bones. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I feel better now. I feel and I claim that my bones, especially my backbone, pelvic bone, rib cage, have been properly aligned. I woke up today without pain in my body.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to all of you for praying in Jesus' name and serving our Lord. All glory and praises to God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. Our Lord, our God, bless us as all. Respectfully, yours, Luann. Okay. All right. This one... She written with a lot of things. So the Lord's starting in one area with her. She'd written with bronchitis, something to do with her lungs damage, mucus, pneumonia,
She'd broken her back. The Lord put rods and screws in her back. I have pain. I'm heavy feeling because of the rods and screws. Can't sleep on her stomach, the weight and everything. Sinusitis, terrible allergies, and high blood pressure. My pulmonary doctor said I would wake up one morning with pneumonia and that would be it. And I do not believe him because I know God's a healer. So she wrote back. We prayed and said it was done. We told her that your back will become flesh and bone again without heaviness. There will be no high, pneumonia or high blood pressure. And we told her where to go, and I sent her several links. High blood pressure has to do with fear of tomorrow, projecting fear into the future, anger against yourself, others, and or God, which is very similar to sinus and pneumonia. Pneumonia has to do with self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-hatred. Allergies, hay fever, same thing. So anyway, we sent her several links to listen to. She wrote back, "Hi, Pastor Thurman and Lady Cheryl. My blood pressure has been stable all week. Praise be unto God. And pray for me as I want my complete healing. Thank you, Christine." So she's a work in progress. Okay, this one is pretty neat. We've talked about Cadet Caleb Hayes. There was a miracle that they needed the $60,000 to send him to Teen Challenge. He's 12 in Florida, and it ended up a rent house got sold. And the day before they needed the $60,000, and they had the money to pay, and he got to go. The only thing is, it's in Florida, and you know what's been in Florida. So she had written and asked, "Would we pray that the hurricane would not affect him or the children or anybody in that area?" So she wrote back. She said, "I sent you a minimal email, and the Holy Spirit has been convicting me for a couple of days, so please forgive me for not doing it right the first time. I sent an email asking for a prayer for Caleb, the other boys, and staff as they were in the line, the center, the eye of the hurricane. You prayed. Thank you so much. My husband came in the morning saying it turned into a Category 4. The boys could not evacuate now. It was too late. My husband and I prayed, standing on the Word of God. Like us, the other parents, there were 63 boys there, started to freak out. God laid on my heart this prayer. We were communicating by email and Facebook." And this must be her prayer. "God loves our boys so much that he went through all of this to get our boys there." Oh, so God loves our boys so much that he went through all of this to get our boys there so he could win them back to himself. God most certainly would not just hand them over to the enemy now. Please don't listen to the enemy. Listen to what the Word of God says." And she quotes the Word of God. Again, she did the NIV. "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Matthew 18:19. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." John 14:12. "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm." Mark 4:39. "As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever." Psalm 125:2. "Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Psalm 66:20. "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer." Psalm 6:9. "Be strong of heart. I would not have known how to stand on his word if not for your teaching. Many of the parents seemed comforted and encouraged by the word. Praise God. But that was not the part that really mattered. What really mattered was God's response to all of the prayers." This is what one of the people posted. "Oh, my goodness, so thankful it shifted east and we avoided the eye and PCB. I don't know what that is. Power is out and damages have occurred, but nothing like PC and Mexico Beach. Thank you for all the prayers. They're appreciated more than you know." This is, where is it?
Panama.
Panama City. This is from one of the parents that lived in the area. "Praise God. Please note it. The hurricane shifted to the east. Shifted. That's God listening to prayer. Miracle." Then the next morning, the director of the academy said, "Good morning, parents. That last email was supposed to go out last night, but we lost service. Everyone is fine. Several staff had major damage, but the center looks almost untouched." I know, praise the Lord. "Phone lines and cell service are down. I had to travel about 20 miles from the center just to get this email out. Please pray for those impacted by this storm, executive director. And please note, several staff had major damage. They live very close, but the center looks almost untouched." She says, "Untouched? That's God listening to prayer. Miracle. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your teaching. Please never stop.
Oh, wow.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. How awesome to be a vessel of God. Pray God can use all of us. Charlene.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We have a wonderful promise there in Matthew 18:19. Oh, my question to you today would be, if we have this Matthew 18:19, and we do have, I mean, if there was ever a doubt in your mind that we have Matthew 18:19, it should be no doubt after the last few weeks. Because you heard Matthew 18:19 read over and over, and you have quoted it yourself over and over. So if all this is true, then why do we not use it? Because the average church member, in fact, we had at the healing school yesterday, we had a couple that told us the reason they were here yesterday is because a friend of theirs they met about 3 years ago had been diagnosed with cancer. And somebody told him, said, well, gee, if you got cancer, you need to go see Thurman Scrivener to Living Savior Church in Justin. So he said about 3 years ago, he decided he'd look us up and whenever they told him. And so he said he came in here and he looked and he told me what, he went to a healing school and told me what he had, cancer. So I told him, I said, I'll remit all of your sins. I reached up and touched him with both hands. I said, now you are healed, because it said, lay hands on the sick and they're healed. I said, but the kicker is, you've got to believe with no doubt in your heart. I believe, and I know God heard my prayer. Now you got to agree with me in prayer, and I guarantee it's a done deal. He said, well, Thurman kept saying, I guarantee it's a done deal. I thought, well, if God said it's a guarantee, then why do I need to go any further? Why do I need to go to the doctor? So he said, I just praise the Lord. Walked out the door, and I was in agreement with Thurman that I'm healed and there's no problem. I have no cancer. And he said, that'd been 3 years ago, and I hadn't been back to a doctor since, and I feel perfect every day. He didn't even come back or call me to tell me he was healed. Nothing. I mean, he just acted like it was done. You know, he acted like he knew a God that answered prayer. And so he said, it's done. Now then, if we all would believe that and have that dominion that Dave told us about, if we knew that was ours and we acted on that, you know, there's a scripture where the Lord says, in fact, I want us to read this scripture in James 1, 6 and 7. I want you, Cheryl's going to read a couple of scriptures here. James 1, 6 and 7, I want her to read that scripture and see what that says.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Now then, if you come to the Lord and ask him for something, he expects you to be like this guy that I just told you about.
Milton.
No doubt in your heart, if I come and ask Thurman to pray for me, or Thurman and Cheryl, if they prayed for me, it's a done deal, because God said we must pray in faith, nothing wavering. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
In faith, nothing wavering. So as sons or daughters of God, when somebody says the scripture says something, you need to do what it says. Don't be offended at the word of God. Just do what it says. You know, it's just like a young man asked me a question yesterday at the healing school. He said, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, absolutely. I believe once saved, always saved. He said, then you don't believe you don't believe you can be lost. I said, oh, no, I didn't say that. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, let me ask you a question. I've heard this once saved, always saved stuff all my life coming out of the Baptist church. But then I read scriptures that's in the scripture. It says, if you do certain things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I said, what's going to happen if you make Jesus Lord of your life, and then let's say that you walk with him all your life, you quote his scripture, you quote his word, you believe with no doubt in your heart, and you really walk with God, you walk in obedience to His promises, you walk in love, you do everything God told you to do in His Word, at the end of your life, when life comes, I guarantee you will go to heaven. You're once saved, always saved. But I said, what if that scripture in Galatians 5 that says, if you be, and he's talking to Christians, what the Christian that becomes a homosexual, becomes a drunkard, becomes a drug addict, an adulterer, a fornicator, or a murderer, if he becomes all of those things and lives in that, it says, yeah, I'm going to tell you, as I've told you before, the people that do those things and live like that shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I said, so if you take that at face value and you go down and get saved, and then you hear this nonsense, once saved, always saved, so you think, well, that means I can do anything I want to do, so you start living for the devil. Okay? I don't know. Only God knows who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. But I guarantee this boy, when I read those kind of scriptures, it shocked me into reality. If there is something that I can do that will lose my salvation, and if it, one of those things it looks like would be an adulterer, let me tell you what, there ain't no woman in this world worth me going to bed with if I'm going to lose my salvation over that. That would be some kind of price to pay for eternity in hell, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
So let me tell you what, if being an adulterer, and I'm quoting Scripture to you, this is what Scripture says. If I am right, and that Scripture does say that an adulterer or fornicator shall not have any part in the kingdom of God and of Christ, and I'm telling you what, if that's the truth, I'm going to stay as far away from that adultery as I can get. As Bill and me was walking in the church service here a while ago, I told him, we were talking about something like this, and I told him, I said, this is what I want. I reached over and put my arm under his and pulled him up just as close as I could get him. I said, that's the way I want to be with me and Jesus. I want to be just as close to Jesus as I can be. I don't want to be out here on the side of the hill saying, how much sin can I live in and still get into heaven? I'm going to put God to the test. You can throw that stuff out the window. I don't even want to come close to being taking a chance. In other words, that boy, some of y'all have heard this story, maybe a few of you, but most of you probably haven't. Cheryl and I was here one night with a young man from Croatia. You may remember the story if you heard it. If you hadn't, you'll be fixing to hear it. There was a woman in this Croatian church that was a wonderful woman of God. I mean, she loved people. Her name was Mary. She loved people. But everybody in the church, she had problems. She had no problem with nobody but one woman. There was one woman in that church that she got crossways with, and she would not forgive that woman, and she would not, she just wouldn't do it. The pastor tried to get her to forgive, and she said, no, what she done to me, I'm never going to forgive her. Now then, Scripture says that if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, everybody, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now then, that's scary. Because I know lots of people that die and go to heaven or go somewhere, and I don't know where they go. But anyway, this woman, she was going through life, and she loved everybody in this Croatian church. Everything was great, with the exception of this woman, Mary. She couldn't stand this particular woman because of whatever she did, and so things still went along pretty good for her, and then the day came whenever Mary passed away. She died. So he said, everybody in the church loved her. Everybody loved her, but this one woman she wouldn't forgive. So they had her casket right there in the front of the church, and the pastor was doing a sermon, and the pastor said, well, at least there's one thing we do know. Mary was a great woman of God. She loved everybody in the church. He didn't mention the woman that she wouldn't forgive. She loved everybody in the church, and if there's ever a person we know's in heaven, today at least we know Mary's walking on streets of gold. And Mary sat up in the casket. This story was told to me personally by the man that was there that saw it. He said, Mary sat up in the casket and looked out there at that woman and said, he's lying. I'm in hell because I wouldn't forgive that woman right there. And then she fell back down in the casket, stone dead and hard cold. Let me tell you, somebody said, I don't believe that. That's okay. That's good enough for me. I mean, what happened lined up with Scripture. And I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to stay just as far away from that. I'm not going to get into unforgiveness or bitterness with nobody. I love all of you. I don't care what you do, what you said to me, how good you've been to me or how mean you've been to me. I love you. You ain't worth me going to hell for, I'll tell you for sure. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, definitely.
But we have these awesome promises. Now, when we take one of these promises, like Matthew 18:19, and I use that. Now, Cheryl and I use that verse every night. I mean, every night we use that verse because there's information when we pray. I know God is not a shotgun blast God, and he wants specific information. And I found out that the more specific I become, the better I get the prayers, my prayers answered. So, but sometimes people just don't give you enough information. And so you have to use some of these scriptures like Matthew 18:19, where Cheryl and I will agree. And she'll say, but honey, you can't pray for that person. They didn't give you, you don't even know the name of that. I said, but I can use Matthew 18:19. And she said, you're absolutely right. I don't know why I don't think about that as often as you do. But anyway, she'll say, yes, we can use Matthew 18:19. And we pray. And some of the answers we get, some of you that since we've been reading these praise reports have heard some awesome praise reports, have you not?
Yeah.
And these all happen from one man and one woman that's using Matthew 18:19 a whole bunch of the time. But once in a while, we get one that we can't get an answer to, like Jenna. We use Matthew 18:19 on Jenna, but God would not heal her. He would not do that. He's God, and he does what he wants to do. And I don't know why. All I know is that after a year and a half of praying for a little girl, using every combination of scriptures that I knew, everything, I could not get that little girl healed. But yet I know God wants to heal that little girl because I know that he died on the cross and was rose from the dead to heal his people. Healing belongs to us. So I know it's God's will for everybody to be healed. I know it is. You know, I mean, whenever he heals Kim, you know, and she wouldn't even come up for prayer. I mean, she wouldn't even come up. She sat back there in the back of the church, and I prayed for everybody else, and Kim got healed sitting on the back row back there. And she wouldn't even come up for prayer. But God wanted her healed that day, and he healed her, and that's been 5 or 6 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago, and she's still healed. But with Jenna, I could not get Jenna healed. So if you run into something that you can't get healed of, don't give up. You just haven't hit the right combination of whatever you need. So anyway, we prayed and we prayed and we'd done everything we knew to do with Jenna. And I mean everything. Now, this is not something that just happened, just one time. When we pray and pray and pray and pray and use a combination of scriptures, of different scriptures. If it don't work the first time, I'll use another scripture. Lord, you said in John 14:13-14 that I could ask for anything and you would do it for me in the name of Jesus. So I used that, you know, and it didn't work. I kept using every combination of scriptures, knowing that the promises of God, all of his promises are what? Yes, so you know if his promises are always yes, you know he wants to give you what you need, just like Dave said. He wants to meet your every need, every want. That's the children's bread. You know, it's supposed to belong to us as sons and daughters of God. But I couldn't get Jenna healed. But I know there's something, and I don't know what it is, but I decided, I said, okay, boys, what's Jenna's mother and dad? I told him, I said, I know it's God's will to heal your little girl. I know it is. But I said, most people are not willing to stay in there for a year and a half. After you pray for somebody, I mean, I see people all the time say, well, it wasn't God's will for me to get healed. No, you're just lazy. You know, you're lazy. You're not getting out there. You're not digging in. You're not putting your heels down saying, okay, it's mine. I'm going to find out what it is. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be in there. And God has already healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago, so I don't know what I've done wrong, but I ain't giving up.
Amen.
When you give up, that's when you lose. Mm-hmm. So you don't give up. So anyway, I told Jenna's mother and dad, I said, Richard, I want you and your wife to get together at least two or three times a day, every day, and go to Jeremiah 33:3 and ask the Lord, Lord, what sin did we commit that caused you to strike our daughter with this curse? Now, I said, the Lord did this. It says in his word, Deuteronomy 28, clearly says that God is the one that puts that affliction on you. I said, he does it. And I said, I don't know why he did it, but there's a reason. Because I said, Proverbs 26:2 clearly says that the curse causes cannot come to rest. So if the curse causes cannot come to rest, that means there's a sin somewhere that God's not willing to turn loose of for us to get your daughter healed. Does that make sense? So because how many times have we seen him heal people? Oh, my lands. We've seen him heal people of everything imaginable. But we can't get Jenna healed. So finally, after I told them to go to the Lord, they prayed. Richard, the daddy, he said, well, how long do I pray, Thurman? I said, you pray until you get an answer. I said, pray once or twice or three times a day, four times a day, whatever. But you pray, don't give up till you get an answer from God.
Amen.
So they started praying. Well, about 3 weeks later, Sally called me one morning. She said, Thurman, this morning when I woke up, I heard two words, lying and deception. I said, okay, so do you know what that means? She said, yes, I know exactly what that means. She said, when I was 39, my husband was 43. She said, I went to my husband and told him, I want another baby. And she said, before I get too old or not, where I can't have children, I want one more baby. And my husband said, honey, I'm 43 years old. We might have wind up with a teenager in high school and me in my 60s. He said, no more children. We got all the children we want. No more children. Case closed. Now, technically speaking, the father, the man is the head of the home, and if he made a decision, him and his wife talked about this, and he made a decision, no more children, then what do? No more children. That case closed. I mean, he's the final authority. Somebody's got to be the final authority in the home, and it's the man. And so anyway, so she said, I lied to my husband. I told him I would do everything I could to keep him getting pregnant. But she said, I lied. I've done everything I knew to do to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I told my husband, oh, honey, I was doing everything I could to keep him getting pregnant, but it must be God's will for us not to, or must be God's will to have a baby because I'm pregnant. Well, I don't know what the key was that turned that on. But obviously God didn't like that situation because he struck that little girl with a curse that he would not forgive. He would not heal. We hadn't found the answer yet. So when she told me that, I said, that's it, Sally. That's what happened. I said, so have you asked your husband to forgive you? And she said, I did. I said, did he forgive you? She said, yes. I said, did you ask God to forgive you? She said, yes. Now, when we ask God to forgive us, does he forgive us every time? Every time. The scripture says that he forgives every time. So I said, we know that is done then. Your husband forgave you. God forgave you. Now then the slate's clean. I said, now we can ask the Lord to heal your baby and he'll heal that little girl. So we've been praying for her for a year and a half. As you've seen those pictures in the hallway in there, she's awful. I mean, she's awful. But we've used every combination of scriptures that I knew. Every combination. And nothing worked. So there's got to be something that only God has the answer to. We can't get this done. So anyway, after we couldn't get it done, after she told me what she told me, I told her, I said, now I can pray the prayer of faith or healing, prayer of faith for your baby to be healed. And I said, I believe with all my heart God will heal her. And she said, well, Pastor, I don't want you to pray for healing. I said, what? She said, I want you to, I said, you've told us that if we're in agreement with God and doing what he says, that we can ask for anything and he will do it. I said, okay. I said, so what do you want? She said, I want the Lord to give my baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. I said, well, I know the one that can do that. Don't we know him?
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
And nothing's impossible with him. Isn't he the one that said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine?
Amen.
Isn't he the one that said that?
Amen.
So, isn't he the one that said, if two of you on earth agree about
anything?
That couldn't be true. That's too good to be true, Kim.
Yeah, I know it. But it
is true, isn't it?
It's absolutely true.
So we prayed. We prayed and asked the Lord to give that baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. And we thanked him for doing it. And in 2 weeks, that little girl, I know you maybe have probably seen her, but if you haven't, she's on one of the pictures out there in the hallway. I mean, she was completely healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and it all revolved around standing on God's promises.
Amen.
Now, what can our God do?
Anything.
Now, is he an awesome God?
Yes.
So why in the world, if he does those kind of things for us here, and every one of you here in this room have seen him do these kind of awesome things, why is it that whenever the average Christian, and even some of you, and whenever you come to the Lord with a problem, you'll go to the doctor before you go to God? Why? It's just like Franz told me that day, whenever he had that problem and he went to he checked, he said he had that big old tumor in his mouth. And he thought it was so bad, he literally thought that he was fixing it. He's 80-something years old. So he said, I felt like I was fixing to punch out, so I just thought, well, I'll get my house in order because it's over. And then he said, I thought, how many times have I sat right there on that front row and heard Thurman say, at least give God first place?
Yep.
So he said, I thought, okay, I'm going to call Thurman and tell him what the deal is. So he called me. And when he called me, he told me what he had, this tumor on the inside of his mouth and how it looked and all that stuff. And he said, I want you to pray. So I told Cheryl, I said, okay, hold on here just a minute. I said, I'm going to pray. But I said, first before I do, I said, we're going to remit everybody's sin. I don't know why that thing's there, but the curse causes cannot come upon him. So there's some kind of sin somewhere that's there, and I said, we need to get rid of that sin. So I remitted my sin. I remitted Cheryl's sin. I remitted the friends, the couple that was with us, that was sitting in the front seat of the car. I remitted their sins. I didn't know what they might have done that week. I didn't know what all me and Cheryl might have done that week. But I do know one thing. It's very easy to miss the mark in sin. So if you think you're going through life and you ain't got a sin in your life, you better think again. Because those sins are there. And if you want results, the first thing you do is remit your sin right now, up to right now. Lord, I remit my sins. I'm clean and pure. I'm holy in the presence of God. I remit my wife's sins. I remit Francis' sin. I remit everybody's sin in Jesus' name. And then I said, now then, Lord, for Franz, as I've remitted all these sins, I said, now then, I wash all of us in the blood. I want a double whammy. When I'm washed in the blood, how clean do I come out?
White as snow.
White as snow. Now that's beyond me, how he can take that blood, heavy red blood, and come out and wash me in it, and I get to be white as snow. But that's what Scripture says. So if that's what Scripture says, I want to come out of there white as snow so that when I pray the prayer of faith for Franz, nothing will be blocking the prayer.
Amen.
Because God will not hear the prayer of a sinner. You know that? He won't hear it. And so anyway, we prayed the prayer of faith, and I told Franz, I said, now all you got to do is believe. He said, I'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. This was on Saturday afternoon about 6 o'clock. He said, I'll see you tomorrow at church at 2 o'clock. And when he come to church, he come up and hugged me and said, wow. He said that tumor went completely away overnight. Some of you have heard him tell the testimony himself. If we have all these awesome promises and something happens, in other words, yesterday for my portion of the healing school for an hour and a half, I talked about why people need to go to a healing school. Why? In fact, let me show you one of the things why so many people have to come to a healing school. I want you, Cheryl, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 down to about verse 10, first few verses. We'll stop somewhere, but listen to what God is telling you in 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 1. Listen to these closely. You'll find out why you have to go to a healing school. Okay?
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased.
Now listen closely. You're fixing to find out why we have to go to healing schools. Okay.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased.
Now if he ain't well pleased with you, you got a problem. Do you want to hear that?
No.
Do you want to hear God to say, I am not happy with you, Thurman?
No.
Or do you rather say, well done, faithful servant?
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear too, and that's why. But a lot of us ain't going to make it. Because listen to what she's saying right here. Listen carefully.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased.
Not just one or two. There's a whole bunch of them he wasn't happy with. I wonder if he walked through this, and I don't know. I'd hate to think about what he might say to us. Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear nothing but well done, faithful servant. Do you?
Amen.
So read on there.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Now, if he wasn't pleased with you, the very first thing happened, they got overthrown in the wilderness.
Wow.
The battles they went through, they lost their battles. So if you can't win your battles, just listen to this.
Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted.
Wow, okay, so you're not supposed to lust for something. Whether it be a new house, a new car, somebody else's truck or whatever, anything. If there's anything that's lusting, you're lusting for, what do you need to do? Repent and get rid of that. Don't lust for nothing. I mean, just trust God to provide. If he never gives you anything, that's okay, but don't lust for something else. Read on, little brother.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Uh-oh.
Neither.
Go ahead.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000.
Okay, now stop and think about this a minute. Here is a bunch of people that is sitting down to eat and play and drink and all that stuff, and then they get into fornication with different women and different men in this trip across here. And it really ticks off God. I mean, people say, but God don't do that today. Hey, he's talking in the New Testament.
Amen.
This is 1 Corinthians 10 he's talking. That's the New Testament. Paul's telling us these things happen to us, so you need to pay attention to what you're doing, or you're going to need to go to a healing school. Because you're going to be sick. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get this. You read on a little further there, honey.
23,000 fell in one day.
Wait a minute. Did I hear her right?
23,000.
I mean, that could never happen. I mean, you know, it's obvious God don't do that today. People will tell you God doesn't do that. You know, and it's never been. You tell him he killed 23,000 in one day. But there's never been a time when God killed 23,000 in one day for sexual immorality. You think. You don't know. Today, that's just like the other night, Cheryl and I was dealing with a couple. And she had cancer.
And it come back.
She went to the doctor, had chemo, and got it put in submission, remission, whatever you call that.
Remission.
And then after... a few months,
6 years.
The thing came back.
Yeah.
What was it, 6 years?
6 years.
A few years later, it came back. Now then she's come to here, to the church. She heard about us now. She wants to get healed. And Cheryl is talking to her, And Cheryl happens to look up when she holds her hand up like that, and Cheryl notices that there's no ring on her finger. Cheryl says, "You two are married, aren't you?" They say, "No. My husband died 6 years ago, and my wife died 2 years ago, so we just decided to move in with each other." They're not married. Cheryl said, Are you having sex?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Do you two, as Christians," here they are, 60 and 70 years old.
They were both 71 and 73.
71 and 73, okay. I said, "If you don't know that having sex is wrong, you need to get a hold of the fact. Because what was happening to that woman's body?
She's got cancer.
Again. The cancer is coming back. And so does this fit this case? It may be a one-time deal in one woman, but who knows how many other women and men are doing the same thing in the church. And I can guarantee you there's more than 23,000 of them today that's sick and afflicted with cancer because they're sleeping together and they're not married. It just happens they're not all in one little place. Back in this deal here, they were all in one place. But let me tell you, it's happening. God is doing it. Because in Hebrews 13:4, the scripture says, every act of sexual immorality will be judged. If God said every act of sex outside of wedlock is going to be judged, guess what is going to happen? It's going to be judged. So you see why you need a healing school. Why do you need a healing school? You need to come to a healing school and hear the truth of God's word, repent of sin, and then go have no sex till you get married. And people, read that one more time, honey.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000.
Read on.
Okay.
Listen real close to the reasons that we're sick.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents.
A snake bit out and bit you, just out of the woodwork. A poisonous snake comes up and crawls in bed with you and bites you. If there's anything I don't want to wake up with in the morning, is a rattlesnake in bed with me, I guarantee. I don't like snakes in the bed with me. Do you?
No.
I mean, what did God? I mean, did He say He sent the snakes to bite them?
Yes.
Because of what they were doing.
Yes.
Read on a little further there. Go ahead, honey.
Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Okay. Now then, if He sends a destroyer. Which you know who that is, right?
Satan
and his host of demons.
Yeah.
If he sends Satan and his host of demons because he's upset with what you're doing, and he's going to send Satan to destroy you, if he says, "Satan, go over there," and this is in the New Testament.
Yes,
am I reading this just like it's written?
Yes, you are.
You don't want to tick God off. So do you all understand why I'm telling you that if there was anybody in this world that needs to walk holy before God, it's God's children.
Amen.
Now then, if we walk holy in His presence, we walk in obedience to His word, we do what He says, we love one another like He said. When you come up to me, I love you. I say, I ain't mad at you. I don't care what you've done to me. I love you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word. I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to come to church every time the door's open. I ain't going to see how often I can come and not come, because He tells me to be in church under the power of the Holy Ghost every time the door's open. And I'm supposed to be talking to Him and praising Him and worshiping Him, because if there's anybody I don't want sent to torment me, it's the death angel. The tormentor. Do you want to have to contend with the tormentor every day?
No.
There is people that wake up every day that are fighting this battle with that tormentor that's been sent to them because they have no idea what's going on. The sin that's in their life is causing the tormentor to come to your house, and he is having a heyday in your house. When God said love everybody, what did he mean, Mike?
Love everybody.
Love everybody. That's not hard to understand.
It's not hard.
And if you had to follow along behind, if the death angel come along, the tormentor come along and stayed with you in your shop a day or two, it'd be easy to get back in the right place, right?
That's for sure.
But is that what he's doing?
That's what he said.
That's what he's doing. You know, I mean, just think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, one more time, I want Sister Cheryl to start at the first one and read down through that last verse she just quit to. And one more time, I want you to listen. Listen closely to why you have to have a healing school.
Yeah.
Why you have to have a healing school. Technically speaking, before she reads, God said in his word that I bore your sickness and I removed your disease.
Amen.
So if he bore our sickness and removed our disease, should we ever be sick?
No.
No, we should not be sick. He paid the price for it. But you're not willing to listen to his word. He calls us stubborn and hard-headed and everything else. You won't do what I say. I mean, wow. Read that one more time, honey, and let people see. One more time. Why we have to go to a healing school. Listen to this.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
How in the world, when Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, why is it that we can't seem to put this together? I mean, maybe we don't read it enough. Maybe we come to church, and maybe instead of hearing the Word of God read, maybe we hear somebody tell some jokes. I turned into one of the television, TVN or Daystar, whatever it was, this last week. They had some kind of a comedian on Daystar or today, whatever it was. They were talking about just funny things. But out of those funny things, guess what people learned? Nothing. You didn't learn nothing. You know, I think you need to be in a place where you can hear the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I don't like what Thurman teaches. I ain't going down to see him. Well, I've had that happen more than once in my life. In fact, one of the most powerful teachings, I told a man here a while back, he said something about how the seminar ago I went to talk in. I said, well, they throwed me out. He said, they done what? I said, they throwed me out. I said, they told me that next morning I could not speak in the conference no more. I was done. He said, do you have a copy of that teaching? I said, yes. He said, what's the name of it? I said, God's Power. So he said, I need a copy of it. I want to see what got you throwed out. And next Sunday he come to church and he said, Thurman, that's one of the best anointed teachings you ever done. I said, wow, isn't that something? But I got thrown out of church for that. Out of church. They didn't want to hear it. In fact, one of the things that happened, I had a lady the other day was listening to that teaching, and she called me and said, Pastor Thurman, I'm so glad they let me talk to you. I just wanted you to know that it was my husband and my daughter, or granddaughter, that was at Big Sandy when you told the story about Philip. And she said my granddaughter had 16 warts on the back of her hand, and said as you told that story, she says, my little granddaughter looked up at my husband and says, Granddaddy, Jesus don't love Philip any more than he loves me. If he took all them warts off of Philip, he'll take them off of me. And she said, Lord, thank you for taking off my warts. She's a little girl this big. He said, my husband looked down just in time to see her. She raised her hand up. All 16 warts fell off of her hand onto the floor. Do we serve an awesome God? When he said, you can come and ask me for anything, does he mean that?
Yes.
But does he also mean, be ye holy because I am holy? Does he mean that too?
Yes.
So if you're not being holy as he is holy and you come and try to ask him for some of these powerful things, what's he going to do? You ain't going to get it. He ain't going to give it to a liar and a cheat and an adulterer, is he, Miss Jackie?
No,
he'll give it to those that ask, that are walking holy in his presence. That's the whole thing. As we all know, Our goal as his sons and daughters should be to please him in everything we do. If you have a mother and a father, your goal on this earth should be to make your mother and father the happiest people in the world. That's your goal. I thought to myself, as my mother and dad were getting older, and whenever my dad went home to be with the Lord, and then I tried to get my mother to move up here with me, but she would not. She said, I don't know anybody up there. I'd rather just stay here at my hometown. Said she was 83, I believe it was, when she went on to be with the Lord. She said, I just want to stay here. And so, but I told her, I said, Mother, anything I got is yours. And of course, she said, well, son, my car, she had a Chrysler. I bought it for her. She said, I've been having a little trouble with my car. And now that your dad is gone, she said, he won't be around to fix it. So I said, Mom, I said, no problem. I'll come down with my trailer. I'll load that car on that trailer, and I'll take it back to my shop, and I will go through that car from end to end. When I get through that car, it'll be like a brand new one. She said, oh, son, I can't afford that. I said, oh, yes, you can. When you got a mechanic for a son, and he's going to fix you up, I said, oh, yeah, you can. He can fix it. I brought her Chrysler up here. I tore that car down. I rebuilt that engine. I made that thing like a brand new one. I fixed it, everything, and I took it back down there and gave it to her, and she drove that car till she died. That car never gave her another minute's trouble. There's nobody I ever tried to do a good job for as I tried to do for my mother.
Amen.
I didn't cut no corners nowhere. I put the best parts I could buy. I wanted my mother to have a good car. I wanted to make her happy.
Amen.
And in making her happy, who do you make happy?
The Lord.
The Lord. And so then when I can come and ask him for healing for one of you, he does it. And I'm so grateful. And you're grateful.
Amen.
Kim,
amen.
If you don't believe that, ask this young lady here who's been healed now for 7 or 8 years when she wouldn't even come down for prayer. But God, in his mercy, yes, even not praying, by her sitting on the back row, he healed this girl.
Amen.
And she's been healed ever since.
Yes.
And she's going to stay healed because now she learns and knows the principles of walking in obedience to God's word.
Amen.
Just like she said, you know, she said, when you start teaching on submission, being a submissive wife, she said, I thought, no, nope, I've got to find me another preacher. Yeah. I ain't going there with him. He's going to tell you I got to obey my husband. He said, I got another problem here. But she stayed long enough to listen to find out that what I was teaching wasn't Thurman's way of doing things.
No.
It was God's way of doing things.
Yeah.
And it works.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
Change your life forever.
Yes,
change your husband's life forever.
Amen.
And now then, Matthew 18:19, y'all use that verse all the time and see God do awesome things with that verse, right?
Yes, he does. It really works.
Yeah, it really works. Just think. One more time. I want Cheryl to read that verse in 1 Corinthians 10. Just one more time, and I want you to show you. Are some of you beginning to get the idea of why you have to come to a healing school?
Amen.
Start from the beginning.
Read that one more time.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some were of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt or test Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Okay, now then, let's stop and think about this a minute. So we find ourselves within this area of doing all these things, or just one of them.
Yeah.
And God is not happy. Psalm 103, what does Psalm 103 say?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is in me, bless his holy name. Lord also and forget not all his promises.
And he's the one that forgives all of our iniquities, and then he's the one that heals all of our diseases. So if you come to God and you're having trouble getting healed, and you find out that you're not been a good boy, you've not been a good girl, you have fussed at your mother or your daddy or your brother or your sister, then you begin to wonder why everything in your world's falling apart. You know what? Today, most people never hear the story. Lord, I'm sorry. I did do something wrong. I did get mad at my parents or whatever. They never hear somebody say, you got to repent for that. Yeah. It's not washed away by the blood automatically. Once you generate that sin, it's there with you until you cancel it. That's why Cheryl and I remit everybody's sin. I don't care who we pray for. The first thing we do with everybody is, Lord, I remit their sins. Because I know there ain't no human being on this earth can walk every day without sin. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. That's why when me and Cheryl pray for these people, Lord, I remit my sin. I remit Cheryl's sin because me and her are human beings. And we fail and we miss the mark. And when we miss the mark and we don't repent and get that taken care of, God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. So we can't get our prayers answered. If God stops answering our prayers, we realize, hey, we've done something wrong. Yeah. Now with Jenna, I didn't understand. I still don't understand that. I don't know why we couldn't get Jenna healed, except all I know is there was a sin there that God would not forgive until it was voiced. When she gave voice to that sin and she asked her husband to forgive her, and then she asked the Lord to forgive her, then we prayed the prayer of faith and God healed that little girl. And I mean, wow. Wow. And you look at her now. I think she's second year of junior college or something. Wow. So, time for a rain shower. Lord, thank you for the rain. Yes, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the rain. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hopefully you don't have no windows down in your car. Hopefully everything's up, but if you got windows down in your car, you better go roll them up. It looks like you're going to get good and wet. But anyway, on this deal, the thing we got to remember is we remit our sins, stand on the Word of God, and pray the prayer of faith. Matthew 18:19 will work nearly every time. That'll get you an answer. But if it doesn't, and you stand on some other promises and that doesn't work, then go to God and ask him what the sin is that you need to repent for. And if you'll stay with him, he will show you. And once he shows you, then you repent of that sin, and then use another promise and go again. And when you do, God will hear your prayer and he'll answer. And so, wow. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. What time is it? Time to stop? Okay, so can't hear very good and it'll be mixed up with. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for these. I thank you for the Word. I thank you that you give us the Word. I thank you for the revelation and wisdom that you give us so we can walk in obedience to your Word and so we can see you do your great and mighty things. Lord, we want to please you. We don't want for you to be angry at us, and we don't want you to say you're not pleased with us, because you said in this scripture that with these people you were not pleased, and so you destroyed them. And Lord, we don't want to be that kind of people. We want to be people that walks in obedience to your Word, and we want to love you and your people. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.